When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we are. Look at us. Look at us. What do you have right there, my friend?
Nick, it's an open bottle of wine.
Well, we're letting the cat out of the bag. Have we had this was not a full glass of wine to get things started. It was just like a little cocktail weenie of wine. It's just a little mozzarella stick of wine.
We cheat, but we had some technical difficulties with the audio visual department.
So yes.
We needed a glass to get going.
But so Nick, here we go.
Opening pour, shall we?
Opening pour wine pod is underway. Big thank you to Go Currency for sponsoring the wine pod, making this possible. We are very excited to have them on board, and we're hoping, actually, I shouldn't say we're hoping, this is going to be a regular thing here. Yeah. So cheers to Go Currency and
the wine pod. Official. I mean, this has been the dream for years. This is a part-time career.
This is good.
Drinking wine and talking to your best friend.
Talking about nothing here. Yeah. This is exciting. I don't know what this. So for Father's Day, have you heard of this? Where there's wine like filters that apparently they filter out I think they're called sulfates.
I've heard. Yeah. So like the more sulfates in your wine,
it's something you stick in the wine, you pour it all out, and it goes through this filter system and apparently removes the sulfates.
It's supposed to
get rid of your headache and any like allergies with it. I've done it a couple times. I can't decide if I have just bought
six bottles. I'm not hungover.
That's what I haven't done. I feel like you have to drink a whole bunch to really test it. My wife and I have done it. I wanted to do that tonight, but
you know, so one of the things I heard about sulfates and the wine, the people that really know wine should correct us here.
Right.
I heard that like that's what gives you the
hangovers.
But like European wines don't have sulfates or something.
I don't know. I don't know.
They'll say it on like the bottles if they have sulfates, like this one contains sulfates.
So see, there you go. See, I remember when I first started boozing, so I didn't drink in high school. And then when I first started drinking at KU, I mean, of course, when you first start drinking, you have one like, I'll have a cranberry vodka.
You're cranberry vodka. And the newest
Taylor Swift City.
For 2 years, you're cranberry vodka.
No, what was terrible was I could never find the drink I like.
What are you on your period?
What are you on your period? This guy, get the fuck out of here. No, the drink that I found that I liked was a Long Island iced tea, which is like the worst thing you could possibly drink when you have no tolerance. So your boy would be hung over like a mug.
But you were also 20.
Yeah. And I'd wake up and go to practice at Kansas and like be able to do my thing.
Yeah,
and
hangovers are relative in
college. Well, but what I'm saying is I remember when I first started drinking, I was just like, how is there not? We have come so far in society and technology and science. Like, we have yet to really cure a hangover, like a legitimate, like you booze, hangover.
Somebody's working on it, right? People like drinking enough.
Peter McGilligan from the Drunk Irish Times.
The Drunk Irish Times are on the story.
This word out of a science science laboratory there trying to get rid of what we call hangovers. I say hangovers make you a man. This is Peter McGilligan from the Drunk Irish Times.
If there's a drunk man, we're on the story. But yeah, I think people are on. I've heard a lot of stories about, like, there's all sorts of like flavor. Like, that's the big thing right now. It's like flavors and beers and.
Yeah. I can't do that. Like the Trulies and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I have like one sip of beer. Like, that's not bad. And then if you have like half of a can, your boy is just like, needs an Alka-Seltzer.
I'll do a whiskey once every so often. Right.
Right.
But mostly it's beer and wine.
Beer and wine. Baby.
I feel good. I crave it.
I feel the best after wine the next day in terms of like best being relative. You're not feeling 100%, but you feel like, I don't feel it. Like if I drink beer or whiskey, I'll feel it.
I mean, beer and wine are equal to me kind of, but yeah, whiskey. If I have a couple whiskeys, next day I'm like,
God, I get so many people telling me, when are we going to do, like, we need to do a beer pod. Does someone, if someone wants to like, give us some beer, we'll drink a little bit of beer. Yeah, or, I mean, or if there's a winery out there, any sort of like wants to throw us some wine, we'll do that too.
Yeah. Midwest winery or Midwest brewery. That would be the
yeah. I'm down for that. I mean, it's not like we're anti drinking beer. We drink beer, but just wine is just so good. Okay. We got, a lot of things to hit on. Yeah. I did get some listeners to send in some mailbag questions. We'll get into that. We're going to get into a prediction for Nebraska and North Dakota. We're taping this. It's Wednesday night. It's almost 8:30. Peter McGilligan of the Drunk Irish Times has really taken off, which is fun, with our last game recap pod. If you haven't gone and listened to it, it's on the podcast feed. Make sure you go and check that out. By the way, my wife listened to the recap pod. She was like, this was her quote. She goes, it was funny. By the way, what's an onside kick? And I was like,
what?
Would Courtney, does she know, if you just said, what's an onside kick? Does she know what an onside kick is?
Oh, without watching the game and
just right now, like you go to her right now. No, give it just, no, okay. She, so that's no, what I was like, wow, really? You don't know what an onside kick is?
But see, that's the weird thing about football. Football is a sport that, for whatever reason, I find like, girls have a hard time.
There's a lot of things going on in a football game. There's a lot of positions. There's a lot of terminology. There's a lot of situations. There's a lot with football.
And I think that they struggle, like, all the positions, and, like, the concept of, like, line of scrimmage, which we take for granted. It's like, right? Like, it's a line of scrimmage. They just don't even, like, it doesn't make sense. Well, why can't they go forward or what? You know, like, they're really struggling.
It really is.
Why
really,
these right. imaginary rules are
right.
followed.
Right.
Like, why don't they just.
No, you can't have that many people on the line. Well, why not? Well, you just can't. That's just the rules. Like,
it's the line of scrimmage. Like,
you can't. No, but and I wouldn't say he's women ineligible. Like in yeah, it's he's ineligible. He's ineligible to catch the ball. It's like ineligible. What are we talking about?
There's a lot of rules.
There is a ton. And there's just a lot of things. There's a pooch punt, an onside kick, a whatever. Like, I mean, you could go on and on and on and on. And so I just think more so than, not to say that there aren't, like, you know, in basketball, you know, man, when they were running a lot of 2-3 zone, there was a lot of 3-quarter court press. There was a lot of high but ball screens.
Flow. There's flow, right? The flow changes the concepts of basketball, right? Like, you can understand because you're like, I'm playing defense.
It's fairly straightforward.
It's straightforward and it's never stopping. Football, it's start, stop, strategy. Start, stop, strategy all the time. And I think that's hard for people that don't know football because there's so much strategy.
Well, why is it that you've seen, I even think Frost and the staff did it. They had like a ladies' night where like women could come in and like learn the game. You don't see a ladies' night for like
it's
baseball.
Ladies' night. And Frost is tight.
I don't know why they don't do
all
that.
All they're doing is looking at Frost and being like, hey, Scott. Show me the tight end. That's the girl joke. The
nice guns. End. I know. But why you don't see a ladies' night for like basketball? Like Fred Hoiberg's not having a ladies' night for Husker hoops.
I think football has to be explained.
But that's just interesting.
Detail.
Like, it's just is football that much more complicated?
It's more strategic. It's almost like war. Like, there's a lot of correlation between football.
It's just and land war. Acquisition.
Yeah,
that's all. And that's all war is. Like, this is my territory.
We
now,
have to push.
Son of a bitch.
Like, we're at the Somme. We're at the Somme in France. We're trying to take this much yards. That's why they use the terms like blitz. I mean, this comes out that's of the right. World War.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
but I just was like. I laughed and then I maybe was like, maybe it's when my wife was like, what's an onside kick? I was like, wow, really? But she's not like homegirl doesn't know much about sports. Right. I actually have talked about, we've never done this. When I first launched the pod, we were going to have a reoccurring bit where it was going to be sports trivia with my wife and she was going to come on and we were going to ask her. I mean, it was basically like Stanley Cup is for what sport?
I mean, Nick, or she'd miss them all. She all of them.
Name,
especially under pressure, all of them.
Name three. I would test her with this. Name five teams in the Big Ten. She'd be like, Texas Tech.
I convinced my wife that every week she'd be like, who's Nebraska playing? I'd be like, they're playing the Muskies. I kept saying this.
why would you do that?
Because I wanted to just, like, I give her the straight face, like, the Muskies. And she's like, No, they're not. You said that the other week. No, like 2 weeks in a row. Vanessa's. You know, just testing, like how much is she actually paying?
I'm not going to throw one of my mom's friends under the bus, but one of my mom's friends asked heading into this last week for Nebraska. So how good is Dublin?
Serious.
Thought Nebraska was going to go play Dublin.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, it's just like, if you're a guy,
yeah, you're like,
your friends might disown you for that.
What, man?
What's wrong with you?
What are you talking about, like, man?
You'll lose friends over that comment.
Right.
Or you'll never hear the end of it.
No.
As a guy.
But yes. So, my wife. Yeah. So she didn't know what was going on. But nevertheless.
The Dick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. And I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it. And how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Hey.
Okay, so with structure with this pod, we want to have some maybe wine themes, like the first pour, like the big topic. We have the refill in the middle, and then we're going to have tipsy predictions at the end, because this is going to be usually the midweek pod, and we're predicting for the weekend's game. So we're going to give a Nebraska and North Dakota prediction. I almost couldn't do it. We already did the first pour, but this is more like the leftovers from – I have some leftover thoughts from the weekend.
Okay.
I don't know if you – have you – real quick, have you had any
I went to the cabin. I went to the cabin for 3 days, and I tried to get away from
it. So you didn't. You haven't been thinking about it.
A little bit, but not. I've been trying to sort of just be like, all right. We finished the last pod, and I said it's the first game. It's a long season, so I was kind of trying to step
because it is a long season. Everybody needs to take a breath.
It was a long. I literally for 24 hours. I think I just talked about it nonstop.
Well, because everybody's. I mean, it's that's the thing about football. We wait so long, and there are so few games, and we're starving for the game, and we have a huge takeaway from the first game, good or bad. Like and because I guess we'll start with this. This is not what I wanted to go with, but like in talk, thinking about like overreactions. I mean, I couldn't believe, because a lot of the talk is like, it's over for Frost. It's over. Pack his bags. Get him out of here. Bet online for a future bet. Will Frost be fired before the end of the season? -500. Yes. Which is like,
that's strong. That's a strong statement.
Crazy to me.
But
I think there's some people that think that is like they would take -500. They'd be like, this is easy money. It is over.
Here's why I'd push back on them and tell them that's a bad bet, is because it's almost like they're thinking is, the fan consensus would determine his outcome. One guy determines whether he stays or goes, and the guy's name is Trev Alberts.
Right.
And Trev Alberts doesn't want to fire Scott Frost.
Right.
He doesn't want to. So that gives Scott Frost every opportunity to keep his job.
Right.
Right. So that's where that line, I think, is more of like a maybe.
You're pandering to the fans or something.
People like, that are pissed off after a loss and the onside kick. Like, that's the emotional part of it. But if you're a true betting man, you're saying, who's the guy that makes the decision? Trev Alberts. And what does Trev Alberts really want to do? He wants to keep him.
Yes.
So that means that, like, even though this was a rough week, that's not going to shape Trev Alberts' decision. The next 6-7 games, I think, are going to be the deciding factor. He's got 6 or 7 more, like, what I would call the easy part of the schedule. That's going to be Scott Frost's resume is, you know, when he gets through Oklahoma, and then it's, Indiana,
I really think,
Rutgers, Purdue,
right,
yada, Illinois, like that's going to be the test,
right?
Not necessarily
Northwestern over. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Shelve that, because we got a bunch of mailbag questions on that. And I have some thoughts, but quick leftovers. Okay. We talked about this. but I want to just repeat it. This game, this opener, was not near as bad as the game at Illinois a year ago in how the team played and how they looked. Again, Nebraska was up 11 twice in the game. And if you remember, Nebraska was down 30-9. They were down 21 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Think, because people are correlating the two games. Like Nebraska was like close to maybe like running away with the game, and they end up losing. Also, staying optimistic, and then I'll go a little pessimistic, I suppose. Mark Whipple in his press conference today threw out just some numbers that like really kind of like hit me and made me feel pretty good. Think about this. First three quarters for Nebraska. New offense, new coordinator, new quarterback, new running back, new receiver, like a lot of new. Through three quarters, 440 total yards, 28 points, one turnover that was kind of iffy.
I don't think it was a turnover.
They were good on third down. Now, there was a lot of third and shorts. They were like, it is 18 inches to go. Let's get out the roller. 18 and three quarters. First down. Like, there were a lot of close ones, right? But nevertheless, you're moving the chains. Why is that funny?
I don't know why you did this. I don't know why.
Okay. So, one turnover. They were good on third down. And I didn't realize this. They didn't have a single offensive penalty.
That's the other part about this.
So Whipple right now is like, I was like, I will marry you, Mark Whipple. Marry you right
Sometimes
now.
Sometimes you just need somebody to tell you how it is. Like Mark Whipple's like, by the way, 440. Y'all don't know anything. We're like, we don't know anything, Mark Whipple. You're right. Thank you for correcting me.
I believe again, man. I went from
I just needed you to tell me.
He just was like, we just didn't finish. And I preached to the guys, we got to finish the game. And it's like, I'd like to cast my vote for greatest offense in college football history for the 2022 Huskers. But that's the beauty of coaches, that's how you know, like, I'm already sweating.
Me and you are pretty level-headed guys, I think.
Maybe not with Nebraska football, but like.
No, but the point is, I think we are, but even us with Nebraska football, we're not. Like, we get so wrapped up in it that one loss makes you just lose it. Like Mark Whipple came from somewhere else. He's like, am I seeing the same thing you're seeing? We're not in that much trouble. Like sometimes that's where, like I said on the last pod, was it took like 24 hours. I was better. Like you need to sometimes just calm down when you want it so bad as a fan, you get out of your mind. Basically.
And you, again, there's a part of like you're starving for football, and there's this build up to that first game. And if it doesn't go, if Nebraska would have won 63-0, people would be overreacting maybe the other way, you know? So, but I just thought that was like 440 yards, 28 points, one turnover that was shaky, good on third down, no offensive penalties.
No penalties.
Like, that's so pretty good.
Like, that's the part. Two things. I thought our pass protection looked
a
mile better than I was expecting, and the ball kept coming out fast,
Casey was killing that mug, wasn't he?
In rhythm, but he was out of his hands. He dropped back, and the ball be out in rhythm, on time, quickly. And I have never seen that from a Nebraska passing attack. So I was, Nick, that's the first game with new guys and a new offense coordinator. Like, you can't ask for more than that, probably, on the first game.
Right. So, and keep in mind, everybody was a little. The jury was out on how the offense was going to look.
My biggest concerns on our three big concerns, you know,
quarterback,
quarterback, receiver, offensive line.
Right.
And they were better.
O-line pass protection. Casey Thompson was good. And receivers, at least, you know, the two dudes were pretty good. And then, so I don't know. I just thought I heard that and it made me feel better. And I wanted to share it with you so you would feel better. And everybody would feel better. Okay. So there you go. Now there are two other things. It is frustrating that the very first opportunity, and this is twofold, very first close game, very first opportunity then for Casey Thompson. Because there's a lot of, I think a lot of people told themselves, including us, it was like Adrian just never came through in the clutch. If they just had a quarterback that could come through in the clutch.
Yeah.
It's too bad that first opportunity, Casey Thompson couldn't come through. I will say the final situation, 99 yards, no timeouts. And then Wyatt Lever.
His hands.
He got his butterfinger game right. They're like, Lever, get in there. Put that butterfinger down. Sorry, coach.
But wrong time to eat a butter sandwich.
Jeez, is that good? But so it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot for him.
I'll say this though. The positive was he got us out of our end zone. Trey Palmer made a nice little getaway. You know, like the momentum was going. Did Casey throw it a little hard?
Maybe. It was a little hot.
But let me just tell you something. In the clutch, if it hits your hands as receivers, I don't care if it's a
Brett Favre fastball.
Yeah, like they shot out of a gun. Catch that thing.
Right.
So I don't think I felt bad about Thompson that drive because he looked like he was confident.
Neither did I. I just was saying that, like, you know, we've told ourselves this tale.
If he had taken us down, he would have been like legend status.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but we told ourselves this tale, like, you just need a new quarterback, you can get a new outcome. It's not all his fault, simply pointing that out. It is frustrating because did you see the stat? Schick pointed this out. How dare Schick? He pulled some stuff from ESPN Stats and Info. But the first opportunity to win a close game, it doesn't go well for you. But how about this nugget? Before the onside kick, Nebraska had an 88% in-game win probability. This was the seventh time Nebraska lost a game under Scott Frost when it had at least an 80% chance to win at some point. And the fourth time in the last nine games, 2018 at Northwestern, 97% chance of winning.
That was the ultimate
one. Yikes.com. 2021, Iowa, 95% chance of winning. That was up 21-6 at the end of the quarter. 2019 at Colorado, up 17-0 at half. And we're up, 2022 Northwestern. That was this one, last one.
Yep.
2018. What year is it? 22. What year is it? Great Scott, it's 1985. 2018 Colorado. That was the first game, right?
Yes.
Yes. 2021 at Michigan State. That was only 86%. I would have thought that would have been like 99%.
Where we had the Kroenke?
Yeah, Kroenke was like, you want me to point it right and left? I prefer to point
it left. This one's called the boomerang. Whoops.
I'm going to start it right. It's called boomerang left. You guys got to cover both sides.
What if I did the boomerang? Well, I'll just do it.
He boomeranged it and cost us an 86% chance of winning.
Crikey.
On behalf of all of Hastings, Nebraska, crikey.
Crikey, Australian for Shang.
2021 Purdue, 80%. That was the one I wrote. At what point in that game did Nebraska have an 80% win probability? Purdue last year? Am I tripping?
No. Is it 2019?
2021, Purdue? It says. Am I tripping? I'm not going to doubt ESPN Stats and Info.
We lost a lot.
It's on the internet. It has to be true.
Remember it.
But nevertheless, it's just like, think about that, though.
That, I think, is
crazy.
Like, when we've sat here and talked about it's hard to understand what's happened, I think that is what's the hard. Like, the games where it's like we are losing, where there's just seems like there's no way we should lose, those are the ones that we really struggle to.
There are three that are in the 90s. 94%, 95%, 97%.
It's hard to do.
And so that's what people are, it's like, oh, Nebraska close. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's not just our opinion. It's like where we thought they were close. This is statistical win probability telling you it doesn't get much closer than that.
Yeah, like in-game, third, fourth quarter stuff.
So how about that?
That's nuts.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Peerless Energy Systems, the leading American manufacturer of air compressors. You may hear the name Peerless and think, that's an interesting name. Well, how about this? The owner, Ed McMorrow, was watching the 1998 Orange Bowl, Nebraska and Tennessee, and Peerless Price, wide receiver for the Vols, was asked about his name on the sidelines, and he said it meant, quote, without equal. So that motto stuck with Ed, and when the company was launched in 1999, he wanted to create a company that was without equal in the industry. So Peerless Energy Systems was born. Peerless is the Solaire authorized distributor for Nebraska and Iowa. They go to market via local distributors and make some of the best air compressors and ancillary compressed air equipment in the industry. Peerless has three core values: reliable, dedicated, responsive. And that's exactly what you get. They are locally owned and operated. They have certified compressed air auditors on staff. They have a large, local, dedicated rental department and 24-hour emergency response for service parts, and rental equipment. So if you are in manufacturing, food processing, utilities, transportation, refineries, maybe you work in a body shop, car dealer, automotive, countertop makers, I could go on and on, but you get the point. For any air compressor needs, Peerless Energy Systems has you covered. Go to peerlessenergy.com. That's peerlessenergy.com.
Okay, a couple of things I want to pepper at you. One of the things I thought about in that first game is kind of like the issues, what's fixable and what is maybe not necessarily fixable, but doesn't mean the season has to be done. Like, you know, there's sometimes like you're not going to be blessed with, you know, Sue and Crick inside, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get gashed every play. You might have to get creative with different things. A couple I wrote down, the bus runs, the bus pass touchdown, you talked about communication fixable.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, the communication, a lot of it is, I think, the secondary. I think the young secondary is, they have a long way to go with figuring out how to, like, in the moment on the field, make quick decisions and make the right calls. Because it's underrated how big of a bust that was in the game. Like that was like a high school. No one's guarding the guy running straight down the field. Easy. We've never given up that easy of a touchdown in the Scott Frost era. Never. That was the easiest score, and we lost by 3 points. Right. And don't forget about in that moment, it was 14-3.
Right.
We're up 14-3. They don't have any confidence. We give them an easy, was it a 50-yard touchdown or something?
Yeah.
Right? And the quarterback's running down the field, pumping his fist, getting excited.
Right.
He goes on to have a great game. But that type of play is an unacceptable bust. It's one thing to be like, all right, you give up a few yards. Like, you gave up a uncontested, you know, touchdown. That's going to be what I'm going to be looking at, is that secondary. Can they communicate and be sound in that, because that's controllable, but like, it's also like they're new, and I'm yet to see them like talk it out.
I've always felt like at Creighton we would run a matchup zone, and the most important people in the zone are the dudes in the back, because they see everything, and so they can talk and call stuff out. Is it the same thing for the secondary and football? Now, usually I feel like your backers make a lot of the calls, but like between Deontay Williams, Dismuke, Cam Taylor, Britt, like, you had JoJo even. You had a lot of experienced guys that have been together a lot, where communication can kind of cover up for a lot of stuff.
I mean, we basically have four new starters.
Right.
No, I guess Newsom was a starter for a good chunk of the year. So Newsom's was been there, but the three guys are new.
Got a lot of new dudes back there. I'm just saying, like,
new and young.
Right.
And, you know, those guys last year, you know, they weren't perfect, right? But they were good, and they just had played a lot of football together. They had been together for, I think, 3 or 4 years.
At least, yes.
And so I remember hearing about Williams and Dismuke being like, we don't have to talk to each other. We just, like, we give each other a look, or we just know what the other guy's going to do. That's very underrated. It's underrated to just have that throughout a game, where you don't have to think, and you're making the right checks without having to talk sometimes, or like a look gives it, right? Where these young guys now are struggling to know what to do, let alone communicate to the other guy, here's what we're doing.
Or trust.
Trust.
It's not like trust.
I'm going to do my job. Are you going
to
do yours?
I don't have to. I know that you're going to take, you know, the number two receiver or whatever. Like, I don't need to, like,
yes.
Are you got him? You got him or no? Like, there's, you got to be, not only is communication, it's trusting that the other guy knows their job and is going to do their job. You just do yours too.
It's funny. Caleb Tanner had a quote today about, we just got to do our job. And that's, that's the old joke from Belichick, is, you know, just to do your job. Right. So, but I think that's him talking to the rest of the defense. Like, look, we're not communicating and doing our jobs. Like, or we don't trust. So that's telling, that's a statement. J-O-B, if you're talking about J-O-B, that means people are not doing their J-O-B.
Right. So I think that's something that can get better. One thing, the tackling, did you, in all of your playing career, did you feel like your worst, did you feel like you became a better tackler as the season progressed? Or like, Is tackling something that gets better as the season goes along or no? Because I feel like in camp two, the one thing, a lot of the rules have changed with how much you can hit and how much you're full padded up and all that stuff. And I also think Nebraska went hard in the other direction of like maybe trying to keep guys fresh. Yeah. So maybe you're not tackling as much. Speak to that. Did you feel like you became a better tackler as the season progressed? I was hoping this was the case because I was gonna be like, they're going to be great tacklers, man.
Nick, just for you, yes. No, okay, I don't know.
Or no. I mean, if that's not true, you don't have to pander to me. I'm just wondering.
Does
that shock you? You were my teammate at one point that played defense. I did not become a better tackler. I was a bad tackler the first game.
I have something to tell you. Our first year tackle football, Leon split. There was two teams and we got put in different teams.
Yeah, they knew.
And our first ever scrimmage in pads, which is a kid's a big deal.
Oh,
you're in pads.
Right.
And we're going to tackle for the first time.
Right.
I think it was my first carry.
I think it was.
I take the ball. I go off the right side and somehow Nick Bock comes down from safety and you clip me. The best tackle of your life to this day, still.
Yes.
And you tackled me, and I couldn't believe.
I couldn't
stuck
either.
Me, basically.
I had like a TFL.
On me.
On you. Took you down, and I'm yet. You would have thought that would have like. And that was the beginning of an illustrious career tackling.
No, that was the end of your career.
That was my best tackle I ever had, and I went and played. Because I stopped playing defensive back after my freshman year.
What came over you that day?
I don't know.
You came and stuck my
I think
ass.
You don't know what you don't know, so I was just like, you gotta just do it, man.
I came downhill.
I think there's also like, you don't know, like.
You were like Mike Brown circa 1999.
I was.
Filling.
I think football is one of those sports. I think some people don't realize when you watch football, you don't realize like the stuff you see, it hurts.
Oh yeah.
Like it hurts. Like hammering a guy, taking on a block, like trying to truck a guy, stuff doesn't feel good. Yeah. So I think I had spent like, how old would we have been? Like 10, maybe 9.
This would have been fourth or fifth grade.
So whatever you are there, you're 10.
You're
10 or 11. Yeah. So I think I spent 10 years watching football and just being like, well, you just hit a guy. That's what you do. And I didn't realize that it was like, it kind of hurts, Doug. But anyways.
But yeah. So
I digress.
Where were we?
Tackling. Is it get better? I'm trying to think of the poor tackling.
So
are they a poor tackling team? Because they haven't been. That's the thing with Frost is they have been good. They've tacklers. Been good.
To me, what I saw was we just seemed like we were jittery. Like everybody was so amped up that easy plays became hard on defense.
Yep.
So I think I don't want to chalk the whole game up to just being first game jitters, but there was some of that, right? Just, you know, we whiffed a couple tackles. We just didn't have our feet under us. The communication, that's not first game jitters. That's just like, I don't have experience and don't know what I'm doing. Whiffing tackles, like when Henrich whiffs a tackle, I think that guy made a lot of tackles last year. He had 100 tackles. He shouldn't whiff 3 or 4 tackles. I think he was just so geeked up. You just got to get your feet under you, right? Colton Feast, he missed a bunch of tackles. I think that's his first game.
Some guy in the secondary, I can't remember who it was, got broke off pretty good for a long.
I mean, it's the first game.
Kolarvik
was flying up. That's his first game. You know, these are things that I think I'll chalk up to first game. You just don't feel comfortable yet.
Right.
You are just trying so hard to make a play. So
that makes sense. So
are we going to be better tacklers at the end of the year? I don't know, but I know that we'll settle down.
Okay.
We'll play football. Okay. We won't be like, shit, how do you play football?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know? Okay. That's an answer that makes me feel
not better. Everybody's Nick Baugh, first tackle.
In fourth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the standard.
But you can progress.
Jason Peter was like, fellas, we need to tackle like Baugh. Leon's midget football.
Baugh that's what fills. Needs to
happen. You filled that run. Quick, it's funny when you head into a year, especially with all this new. Nice, you took that to the head, ooh, dog.
Baby,
you took that to the head. What you got, dog?
Weather
Jason Bourne. I don't know.
I'll weather the storm.
Oh man, that's good. Okay, we have this. This is the first year we hadn't done our preseason like 5 most important Huskers.
Yeah.
You have a thought of what that's going to be heading in. For instance, 1 year I had Omar Manning. It's like the second most important Husker. Let's just say not
Omar Manning quit. Did not play.
He did not play again. Come on, Omar. He's practiced. So I think he's going to play this week, which is good. But I guess in the spirit of overreacting, after watching one game, if you had a top five dudes that are the most important Huskers, did one game alter that? Because I would say to jump in there, I would say Vokolek jumped in. I'm not so sure he's not in my top five most important Huskers. Like,
Casey,
I think that was
Thompson,
one of the
Trey Palmer, Vokolek, Ty Robinson staying healthy, and
those are my four. Let's see if you can have the fifth.
Teddy Prochazka, five.
I didn't have Teddy pin your ass down. Teddy pin your ass down. Coming up next on Cool 105.3, it's the latest Teddy P hit. I'm pulling. Watch yourself.
Oh, that's good. Oh, Teddy pin your ass down.
And then it's all called, I'm pulling. Watch it.
Oh, man.
Okay. I laughed too hard at my own jokes.
That was pretty good.
I got to work on that. No, I had, don't do that. I had Brian Buccini, the punter.
You're such a punter homer.
Okay. You want shitty putting? Have fun going to bowl game, bro.
I'll give you.
You want boomerang back? I'll come call.
Hey,
you want me back? I'll come back, punt for you. So you Teddy pin your ass down? Teddy pin your ass down kind of had a rough go.
I'll get another punter in there if we lose Teddy P.
Okay. But either way, our four were the same though. Casey Thompson, quarterback, makes sense. Vokolek, like clearly
when he went out, we felt underrated. Like the offense didn't function right because he can block and he's just such a big target.
Right. One of the most underrated things in that game was Vokolek going out of the game. Everything changed.
Because Thompson, you can tell who he wants to. It's like Vokolek, Palmer.
Right. So
he's going to throw the ball to one of those two guys.
Thompson, Vokolek, Palmer, Ty Robinson, because of just how thin that D line is. That's Jason nice. Peter Jr. needs to be able to get in there and do his thing at least to some degree.
Exactly.
And then you went Teddy pin your ass down. I went Brian Buccini because I will always love punters. If you
the difference between me. Like if I'm picking the first round, taking offensive tackle, Nick's like, who's the best punter in college?
How about my boy from Northwestern? I gotta watch some more of those games, see if that guy just had an out of body experience.
I think he's good.
Jiminy Christmas.
I think he's
good. Okay, any other honorable mention guys?
Running back
Grant, I don't see. I don't see if there's a big. I think what you're getting at is like importance to each side of the ball, and is there a discernible drop off
if they are out? What do we do? Because when I would have said Vokolek until I saw in the game Vokolek. Oh, he's that good, and he's out.
The whole reason I had this topic.
We changed the whole.
I had no idea. I had no idea Vokolek was so high on my list.
I didn't either.
But I don't know if good. Then Ty Robinson, Muggs is thin. You know, Feist, Devin Drew walked to Dublin. He was like, Lincoln. I got to walk to Dublin.
He did get to Dublin. Okay.
He got to Dublin. He walked there. But there's thin on that line.
Yeah.
Teddy pin your ass down is probably pretty important.
Yeah. Teddy pin your ass. Poor Teddy. He's got a name now.
Teddy pin your ass down. I'm pulling. You better watch yourself. You talk about like, if you play that at last call at like a college party.
I'm pulling. You better watch yourself.
Man, that is good. I created that topic just to say like Vokolek, surprisingly important.
Yeah. I think it's weird. We didn't even talk about him that much going into the year, but like you saw immediately like, who's an NFL guy in our team? And he's like he's 1B probably. There's 1A, he's 1B.
Well, and it's not only his pass catching, his blocking too. Yeah. For an O-line that's a little he can block.
Because he's freaking big.
He's a Vokolek. That's what he is.
He's the big Russian freak.
That's what he is. Okay. You want to go to the mailbag stuff? We got to hammer through this stuff.
Is that refill time then?
I think it is. Should I take this to the head?
To the head, boy.
Okay, here we go. To the pin your ass down.
Next on
Cool 105.3, it's the Quiet Storm.
All right,
this is the refill bag. Well, how about this quick timeout? Let's just do this now. Quick timeout. I got some great mailbag questions for you, so you're not going to miss this. Quick time out to tell you about GoCurrency. Does your business need easy, competitive financing for trucks or equipment? Currency is here to help. Currency specializes in finding the best available rates and terms for construction equipment, farm machinery, trucks, and trailers. In fact, customers can get up. How about this? Can get loans for up to $500,000 with little or no money down in terms up to 72 months. That's amazing. Currency can also help if you're getting serious about buying a new or used motorhome, fifth wheel, or utility vehicle. Just fill out an application and the Currency finance team will get to work finding a lender with the most competitive options. It's quick, secure, and free to use. Currency is equipment financing made simple. Visit GoCurrency.com for details. Get ready for this. This is a legal disclaimer. Offers may vary and arranged by Express Tech Financing, LLC, DBA, Currency Pursuant, CFL, License 60DBO-54873. Shouts out to GoCurrency. Okay.
Nice. That's
kind of cool. Like that? That was good. Okay. Just a couple of things. We got a bunch of this stuff for mailbag. Ali said, will the Irish accents be present again? They were at the start of the pod. Brian Schwetzenau. How about Brian Schwetzenau? Yes. Our guy.
Oh, yeah.
Our guy. People don't know. We coach Brian Schwetzenau.
MVP.
Yeah, he was MVP, wasn't he?
The 2011
or 10?
2010.
Nebraska Bison runs a statewide freshman basketball tournament.
And they won.
And we coached him to a victory. In a related story, we had a lot of F-bombs on him. I didn't realize me and you were so like, you gotta take
this. We essentially didn't coach other than coaching effort and attitude.
By the way, to tie it into Huskers, our starting point guard, former Husker linebacker, Chris Weber. How about that? But Brian Schwetzenau says, can sources confirm if the lead editor of the Drunken Irish Times is going to make an appearance? You're talking about Peter McGilligan. And then Dan says, hey, boy, I got a question for you. Who was the Drunken Feller of the Week and what did he do to claim the honor? So I don't know who the Drunken Irish Times Drunk of the Week is this week, but I'm not quite here. I'm sure they got plenty of candidates.
His name was Seamus McCoy, a former teammate of mine, and I'll tell you what, he had a heck of a week.
He stumbled into the wrong house for the 14th time. This month.
And fired from his job twice.
Two fires, 14 miscues, heading on home. That's Seamus for you.
And he was the chief of police. That's the sad part about it.
Okay. Also, not going to answer this question. Got a bunch of these questions. Okay. Multiple people asked potential candidates for the next head coach as Frost is fired. We're not doing that. Take that crap elsewhere.
No, I don't want to go down that road.
I don't even want to go down that road. All right. I'm not even going down that road. We're not doing that. Okay. You ready? It's from Josh. Says, does a win versus Oklahoma reset any excitement that was felt pre-Northwestern? I'm going to rephrase this to you.
Good God. What is
my question is, which 3-1 record is better? 3-1 with the one loss being to Northwestern and you beat Oklahoma, or 3-1 with your one loss being to Oklahoma, but you beat Northwestern?
If you beat Oklahoma, the clouds part, the sun shines, everything makes sense again. And Scott Frost keeps, they'll sign how much
people, there's going to be a lot of people crunk. If you beat the Sooners,
and they'll be ranked.
Oh yeah.
Top 10.
I told you they play Utah and I think Kent State. So they're top 10. Now they play two teams they're going to be top 10.
If you can beat Oklahoma, you know, 51 years after the game of the century, like, trust me, it's not even close.
So
it's not even close. Northwestern, exactly. We haven't had a signature win in a decade plus. The signature win when it's the big, it's Fox's big game.
Big noon kickoff. Their studio crew will be there. Yeah.
Like I remember, like, we've had so many in a row where we've had college game day. I had college game day, USC in 2007. Yeah. We laid an egg. They came against Ohio State a couple
Justin
years ago.
Fields, Chase Young.
Like, we've done Fanny that waxing. Now.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times in a row, but we need a signature win, especially if it's a national game like that. Like, it's not even close.
Side note, I work for Fox. I should be the celebrity picker. I know Rob Stone. They should bring me onto the set of Big Noon Kickoff, and I should be the celebrity picker.
You should start.
I should start working on that right now. But there's no doubt. It feels like the sky's falling now. Watch them. If they win the next 2 weeks and go and beat Oklahoma, however horrific you feel now, you will feel like on top of the world.
You could lose to North Dakota. You could lose. You could lose the next two games if you beat Oklahoma. like everybody will lose their mind.
So, okay. So there's that. Josh asked a bunch of questions here. You mentioned the word signature win. He asked, does a bowl game 6-6 with no signature wins keep Frost?
Bowl game?
Yes.
Yes.
So does a bowl, so a bowl game 6-6, no signature wins.
Going back to
this. I got a bunch of these kind of questions of like, how many wins does Frost need to have to save his job? I don't know.
Nick, remember?
I know. I don't want to be
Vegas odds.
Yeah, flippy floppy.
The guy is Trev Alberts. Trev Alberts sees bowl game. It lets him keep Scott Frost. That's going to be his mindset, in my opinion.
But what if, the $64,000 question, the $1 million question, or the $7.5 million question is the buyout, I think, is you have to look discernibly better. Like Frost Trevis talked about that. We need to see progress.
Yep.
So there's that, you know, that's all what is, it's why they stayed at 3-9. It's why Frost, like if they go 3-9 and it looked terrible, he wouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
But it was 3-9, but they didn't look terrible. So it's all, there's that variable. But if like, man, if the six wins, you're telling me he stays as head coach. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't want to totally change my tune because I was bowl game. He's coming back. And I still feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
But if the six wins are North Dakota, Georgia Southern, Indiana, at Rutgers, Illinois, and let's say at Purdue.
Yeah.
He's back?
Yeah.
You think he's back?
Six wins, he's back. I mean, Nick, Trev Alberts does not want to fire Scott Frost.
I think I'm with you. I think he wants.
He does not. I know he doesn't want to. I mean, he just like the fact that Scott's here this year means that like Trev knows this is the best option for us is the new hires on offense. Frost going to the more CEO and let Nebraska, a guy that knows Nebraska and Frost,
right,
knows what this state wants and needs. And then, like, we just need to have some good things happen and then move on from there. Like,
that's what I've told.
We've never had something good happen.
You and I have been on the same page in this, where there's some people that, like, you know, Sip has been like, if I'm Frost, I'm telling the boys, we better get to 8 wins if we want to feel safe. And I've just never felt like that from the standpoint of, like, Trev told you, kind of without telling you, like, I'm not firing Frost unless it is, like, painfully obvious.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. 6 wins probably brings him back.
I think 6 wins brings him back.
It does kind of feel like he's got to go beat. It feels like between.
If he doesn't win a game in November, like if he loses the last 4 to the, you know, let's call it the best teams on the schedule, mm-hmm, besides Oklahoma. If he doesn't look great and they lose the last 4 bad. Okay. Now we're in
But that's probably that variable of how, what does it look
that's
like?
That's the variable that would be if we really lost bad the last 4. But to me, it's like, I just don't think the way that we've played the last few years is like, we play people close. So like, it's different than like, they blew us out for 4 straight games. Like, we haven't had that for a couple of years.
Agree. Next question, Devin. After week 0, what's the best case scenario and worst case scenario for this team in the next 11 games? It's kind of build. Everything was kind of similar. Yeah. I think the next 4 games shape everything. If Nebraska goes 4-0 in the next 4 games, meaning like then I think best case scenario, they get 8 or 9 wins. And that would mean Nebraska beats Oklahoma, beats Indiana, beats North Dakota, beats Georgia Southern. It'd be a, you get your signature win. You finally have your first 3-game winning streak. This case, 4-game winning streak. But if Nebraska goes 2-2 or worse in the next 4 games, I think worst case scenario is like 3 or 4 wins.
I think the hard part about this season now, especially losing that first game, is now the outside pressure on the inside is increasing, right? Where like, if you win this game, the outside's helping the inside, right? Like it's now they're fighting against something besides just like the other team.
Right.
They're fighting the pressure, right? So the more you win, the pressure releases. It's going to work for you. So yeah, I mean, if they lose,
if
they lose one of the next 2, real scary, right? But really it's like Oklahoma, like Scott Frost doesn't need to beat Oklahoma to keep his job.
Because there's some people that think he does, which I'm like, what?
No. He needs to beat Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue and Illinois. That's who he needs to beat.
Right.
And he can't lose these next two. These next two to the scrub team.
If they go lose to North Dakota, that bet online of -500 might be like, if he goes and loses to North Dakota this weekend,
then something's wrong. Right. If you're losing those games, you're not coaching right, or something's wrong with your team. So,
but you see it. I think you're with me.
Oklahoma in the end is like, nobody expects us to win that game. So to me, it's those four games after Oklahoma that I'm like, that's what I'm looking at.
But I'm just saying that, like, you got it. The next four games are huge to me. The next four games shape the season.
Because Oklahoma, Indiana, that is the turning point of that, like, Scott Frost, start of October. That's when the buyout language. And that's sort of like the, like check the temperature.
Yes.
I don't know. Indiana's a bigger game than huge.
That's
Indiana's
right.
Big.
I just think, like you talked about, like if you go and lose to one of Notre Dame or Georgia Southern or Indiana at home, like that you talk about the external impacting the internal, like the hot seat is going to get ramped way up.
So that's where losing against Northwestern
was just huge.
With the timeline, because then it puts the pressure becomes the Indiana game. Because like, okay, you beat Oklahoma, I think you're good for a while. You can lose the next, but if you lose to Oklahoma and then lose to Indiana, that's 2-3, and October begins.
Then I think he's in trouble.
He's in
big trouble.
He's
and steam is coming out of his shirt.
That's why the loss at Northwestern's huge, because it puts pressure then on, Indiana.
Maybe you're not buying, but the next four games shape everything
a lot, because then the pressure just
because in Oklahoma, I'm not saying you have to beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma presents the opportunity to potentially hit a wave.
Yeah.
Jordan Sig says, and we've talked about this, but does Frost have the capability to let go of the crap he learned at Oregon and move to fundamentally sound football after this weekend? I honestly don't know if he does. And I honestly don't know if in 4 years, can he change?
Crap. It's not like they didn't play good football there.
I think he's more so talking about
it's philosophy. I think it's all the philosophy.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
They play good football. They won a lot of games. Like, the idea is to win. That's how they won. But we talked a lot about philosophy, and the Big Ten is a different philosophy, and it's really hard if you just don't got way more talent in the Big Ten,
right,
to try to do what we were trying to do. And like, we never got that talent. So then we're like, okay, let's. And so I think the hard part is we're trying to move away from that. And it's, you kind of got to pick a lane.
It's just hard. I mean, we talked about this with the, rehashing the onside kick. It's just, you would think after 4 years of losing and being on the hot seat that, if that's not going to force you to change or alter some thoughts, like, I don't know what would. But then again, you brought it up, like, at the same time, like, he was the national coach of the year. Like, you go back to, it's easy to have revisionist history. Everybody wanted this dude.
That was just a couple years ago, too.
Just a couple years ago. Florida wanted him.
The thing that you were doing was so good, they said, you're the best in the country. You're the best coach in the country doing that.
Beat Auburn. Coach of the year, could have gone to Florida, could have gone to Florida State, had his pick of all the Tennessee jobs, could have gone to Tennessee. Like, and you know how he got that? Was doing stuff like onside kicking, doing stuff like being aggressive and going for it, or not running clock and instead
they
play
just
action
score,
and
score,
throw
it. Like, yeah, it was just so, it was an all out assault to go fast, like run the people off the field. I mean, it was, remember his opening press conference? He's like, we're going to make them
adjust us.
And we all loved it because, you know what? We thought, this is good. This will make us different. Like, I don't want to pretend like I wasn't bought into doing.
Oh, I was all in.
I was all in. Like, I remember, like, he's like, after the first year, he was like, he was excited that he could go as fast as he wanted to go with the offense, because team wasn't in as good enough shape.
Right.
They didn't know the offense well enough. So the year two, I feel like year two against Ohio State was the game where,
yeah, they were 4-2,
Sales,
I think. Yeah.
Adrian sails that ball and on the drive that the whole stadium was rocking.
Yeah, they went. They got under center, ran some option.
Wandale was just a little short.
Right.
And it gets tipped and picked.
Right.
And I feel like
everything's kind of gone. Like,
went downhill from that moment. And I don't know what it was, but like everything we were planning on doing didn't work or something
because
from that moment on.
Let me think. Like, you're right. So they finished the final six games of the first year 4-2.
Yeah.
Right.
And we felt
and
like it was
I think they
to
started
0-6.
Well, no, they. First but year. No, I'm saying in 2019,
we lost to Colorado because we blew the Colorado game.
Right.
So we won a game, blew Colorado, and then was it the third or fourth game was Ohio State.
But 2019, they started so 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2. They're 4-2. No. They were
3-1.
3-1, and then Ohio State came to town.
So Ohio State.
So there was a period of time where they go 4-2, 3-1. So they went 7-3.
Yeah.
Where it kind of felt like, oh, and then they lose. Remember they get pummeled by Ohio State. They win a clunker against Northwestern the next weekend where Lieutenant Kicker came out and had to hit a game winner. But then they get murdered at Minnesota. To me, that was the game everything kind of flipped too. And then after that point, I mean, it's a lot of L's. But yeah, so I guess the point we were bringing up was like his way of doing things got him to where he is today. I think there's somebody that's like, that crap has never worked. It's like, well, no, yeah, it has worked.
It worked for a good chunk of time. I mean, Oregon did it. Oregon and UCF did it for, call it 2009 or 10 till Scott Frost came here in 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, 2018. Yeah.
Right. By the way, do you think Frost ever in a moment of weakness sits at his house and goes, did I make a huge mistake? Like, did I? Because I think Central Florida is going to the Big 12. He could be
life
living in Orlando.
Easy. So the thing about Central Florida.
No one gives
Florida,
a crap about Central Florida football. No offense. But like in terms of like scrutiny and
quality of life, that's a better job than Florida, Tennessee or Nebraska.
It's like I got their great recruiting base. I can go walk around Orlando and no one's going to hassle me. I'm now in the Big 12. I'm a legend here because I got Central Florida undefeated, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just wonder if there are some moments where he's just like,
oh, everybody thinks about that, but there's a reason why you leave. You leave because you know it's not the top tier, right?
Right.
You go to the SEC and Big 10 because it's the big time. Like, we're all drawn to be like, I want to know.
Yeah, you want to be at the top of whatever it is.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's hard not.
I just, you know, because when I saw Central Florida's going to the Big 12, I was like, man, you wonder if that dude is like. Last minute of my question, and then we'll get to, got some prediction stuff. Man, we're going long here.
I'm out of wine.
I know. What the heck? This is frustrating. Waitress? No? No waitress here? Okay. Big time Timmy Jim, quite a name. At what point do fans say enough and quit showing up? It has to be close at this point. I can't bring myself to spend the money to go down to a game knowing this is the type of football I'm going to see. At least at home, I can turn the channel for free. I don't know how to give you a specific tipping point, and if it's already there, I would think it's people are probably getting close. I can only speak for. I will say this: if Nebraska loses to one of North Dakota, Georgia Southern, and Indiana, I think you're going to get close to that enough. I saw today Trev on the radio said they still have like almost 3,000 unsold tickets for the Indiana game.
Really?
For me, like I don't think I'll ever say enough. I don't know if I ever will.
I know there's like, what's weird is I don't feel that way. Like, I don't feel like to me, it's like, it's built into my life. Like,
right.
I'm always going to be a Nebraska football fan. I'm going to watch every Saturday they play forever. And that's just the way it is. Like, I don't think of it like, if they're not winning enough games, I won't watch them. Like, but I don't think like that. I think this is my one team. Like, there's a lot of like leagues. There's NFL, there's NBA, there's college football, college basketball. Like, my one I'll never miss is Nebraska college football. I won't miss games.
Yeah, I just struggle because I think, I mean, we talk to people that are there with like, I don't really care if I watch the game this weekend. I can't ever really, I'm not even close to there.
No.
I'm like, not even close.
No.
Because that's what you have. I think there's a lot of people that are that say they're out, and it's like you aren't really out unless you truthfully don't want to watch or don't care to watch.
Like if you're out, does that mean if we got good, you're going to not watch when we get good?
But I'm even saying like you don't want to watch the game.
You don't want to watch. Like I don't understand that.
Like
the way we've grown up in Nebraska football, like it's an institution.
That's if where
you're from I'm Nebraska. At. Like it should be like, you know, like they used to say like it. It's church on Sundays, but it's Saturdays.
Saturdays.
Like,
yes.
This is right. This is built into your life.
Right.
You don't need to think twice about it. You just know you're doing it.
Right. So I don't think the only way I would maybe get close is if there was a coaching change and it was a coach I wasn't super high on and they struggled for a bunch of years.
But see, like,
but even then, it's like
said that about Mike Riley. Like, I'm not missing a Mike Riley game.
But yeah, I'm not. All I know is, like you said, you can't really stop and think about what in your life you will alter your life for. It the older you get, the that becomes less and less. And Nebraska football, watching the game, untouchable for me right now.
Yeah, because I don't remember who I was talking to about this. Maybe it was was it dinner with you,
dinner,
Chris and Willie, but like we're talking about like how many teams do you have? Like, because you know, Chris watches the Packers and the Cubs, and like, you know, like I wonder. Do people have more than one or two? Like to me, I got the one. I got Nebraska football.
I got two.
Nebraska football, I never miss. Nebraska basketball, I watch some. Creighton, I watch some. But I'll miss those games.
Yeah. Like I can't miss a Nebraska football game and a Creighton basketball.
Yeah. So you got two, so which is two. A lot. How do you have more than that?
Right? I don't know. And so I'm not close to. Because I think it's easy to be upset and say, like, I'm done. But, like, you have to really understand, like, for you to be legitimately done, it means you do not want to watch or at all.
Watch or follow at all. You're just saying, I'm done? Like, I think that's
so because, like, strange. Right now, someone said, you can never watch any more NC State football games. I'd be like, okay. I don't think I've ever watched one other than when Russell Wilson was playing on Thursday nights before he transferred. Like,
but isn't,
like, you know what I'm saying though?
I always believe like, this is where I'm like, I'm such a loyalty guy. Like I'm such a, it runs in my, like, there's only a few things you need to be loyal to in your life, right? Like your best friends, your family, your wife, your kids, like be extremely loyal and be extremely loyal to your team.
Right.
Which means that like, if it's 10 or 20 years, they're going to just be in a hole.
Yeah.
Like being loyal means you're going to watch them when they're the worst team in college football. Or the worst team in the NFL. Like, if you're a Jets fan, I hope you still watch them every week, even though the Jets don't win.
Here's the difference is, you and I are different in, maybe if I had season tickets and I was having to pay a ton of money for it.
Okay, that's an
argument. That's a different thing. Like, is it worth investing thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars? Because that's what his point was saying. At least at home, I can turn the channel. Like, is it worth me investing thousands and thousands of dollars for season tickets? If you want to pull your investment there, that's
an argument. Okay,
that's
the argument is the university and the donations. Like it's expensive.
Yes, I can.
Like, that's the argument where if your team doesn't produce, something has to give on that, which means the university probably has to be like, all right, we're going to make this a little bit easier, right? But I don't understand. Like, I'm at home.
It's Saturday. It's 2:30.
Cable, and I'm not going to watch the game. Like that.
I mean, even this weekend, North Dakota. Like, I am excited to watch that game.
I'm going to the game because it's going to be great. What else are you going to do?
Well, I think there's a difference. Like, if we're talking about being done with it from the standpoint of like, I'm not paying for season tickets. That I understand, I guess. But being done means like you do not care, watch at all.
And it's like, to me, it's like, I almost feel like thankful that I have one team that I'm irrational about.
Right.
I get to be irrational about the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Like I get to talk about them all week. I get to stew in these losses. We're doing a podcast that basically that's what we do most of the time is talk Nebraska football.
I'm not so sure. There's also the part of like, you've invested so much of your life into something. I'm not so sure if they're in any one thing. If someone said, what's the one thing you know the most about? I'd be like, I'd start writing down things. One of the things I'd write down is Nebraska football.
Oh, it's up there.
So if you administered like the Nebraska football IQ test, like I feel like you'd be like, this guy is Albert Einstein with Nebraska. Like, I, you know what I mean? You think about how many things.
Mensa.
he's Mensa mature.
He's Mensa for Nebraska.
But seriously, like there's also that, like you've invested. Yeah, it's just you've invested so much time into it and so much energy and emotion into it. I'm just not ready to be done with it.
It's a part of your life in a way that almost nothing else is. Like if you grew up in Nebraska and you were born before, if you were born in the 90s or before, I don't know.
I don't understand. You don't see. That's the scary thing. Okay, there you go. The scary thing is if you were born after 1997, or if you were born in 2000.
You're born in the 2000s. I think that's the argument for like.
Why do I like this?
Yeah, we lose. Like they've only known losing since they were 10.
Okay, that's where it's like I grew up in a different world than you.
I mean,
I'm not ready.
If you were born before us, there you have no chance. I mean, we don't either. Like when we were 10 years old, we won a national title.
Woo.
We were spoiled rotten because that's your formative years.
Like yes.
10 through 15, we had the best seasons in the history of football almost.
Okay.
Like it's stupid.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious all white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better.
I'm going to throw out a stupid idea. You can shoot it down.
Okay.
Okay. Before we get to tipsy predictions.
Woo. Yeah. You know what? See, we need to start our drinking an hour early.
I know.
Now we're
My question for you is, I could literally, this would be terrible. I could walk out of the studio and go get 2 beers that are right out there, and we could drink 2 beers, drink a beer apiece during tipsy predictions.
The wine pod.
It flies in the face of the wine pod.
No, we gotta just.
All right. Tipsy prediction times. Yeah. Nebraska Northwestern. The line, according to VegasInsider.com that I checked today, Nebraska is favored by 22.5. North Dakota, a couple of tidbits here I got from the Omaha World Herald. Yeah. Shouts out to the Omaha World Herald. North Dakota has one FBS win in its program history, which they beat Wyoming in 2015. The last Power 5 team North Dakota played was Washington in 2018, where they lost 45-3. North Dakota last year went 5-6, but they were close. They were a lot like Nebraska. Frost even joked about this. Again, this is from the Omaha World Herald. Chew on this. North Dakota lost they lost 5 games in FCS play by an average of 4.6 points.
Okay.
North Dakota also either had the lead or a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter in 11 games in 2021, but the team lost 5 games by single digits last season, which was the program first. How about that? Their quarterback also led the Missouri Valley Conference in passing yards and completion percentage.
Okay.
So that's a little just setting the stage. My first thought on this game before we get into the official prediction, any chance for a hangover? Long flight?
Those guys.
A little emotional.
I think there's definitely a chance for what I'd call the first quarter could be like, you know what I'm saying? Like just.
I wrote down better early energy would be something I'm watching for.
Yeah, I mean, for these guys, this is a first time ever thing. Like, you're going to another country, switching time zones, coming back, short week. Like, it's set up to be kind of a hangover game. Now, it shouldn't matter.
You hope the crowd in the first home game that
That should help. I think they could be a little bit, a little bit slow getting out the gates. But I mean, the reality is, like, when it comes to these like FCS opponents, like, you should take care of business.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's also important. I've always felt in those kinds of games, whenever we played played Mississippi Valley State or something like that, the one thing you want to do is remove all hope right away.
Yeah.
Right out the gates.
They will shut down if you put up 20 points in the first,
quarter, first drive, march down the throat, three and out, it down like 14-0, and you just pounded them. Like, they'll start to think twice. The one thing you got to think about is, like, let's be honest, and this is crazy to say, and it hurts to say, like, I bet North Dakota's coming here thinking, like, we could win this game, given how Nebraska's been the last couple of years.
I mean,
I know that hurts.
It hurts to even think that, but the reality is, it's got to take some sort of,
this would be
disastrous miracle for them to beat us.
You would think
if we just play even the game we played against Northwestern, we win.
Yeah.
We could play worse than Northwestern and win. We just can't, like, give them a couple of cheap, like, pick six fumbles, like some sort of weird, bizarre, like, thing to give them a lead. And we feel pressure. Like, we can't have that early.
Other thing I wrote down is a big game for the trenches. It's like a big game for both the offensive and defensive line from the standpoint of both those units kind of struggled to a certain extent in the first game. And you want to see Nebraska come out, and like, it's an FCS opponent. You want to come out like both those units should have a lot of success. Nebraska should be able to run the ball. Now, I was hearing some stuff that North Dakota is a big blitzing team. You should be able to crease them with some runs probably.
A ton about North Dakota,
but just in general, a team that blitzes a lot, you're probably vulnerable for some big plays then, right?
Yeah, it's usually boom or bust.
Okay.
I just don't know a ton about
that. Oh, no. But and then you want to see that pass rush. I mean, I wrote a song called Mathis Got Sacks. Like, Mathis needs to get a sack.
Well, he needs the opportunities to, like,
yeah, to rush your point, you never had, like,
I was watching him close last game. And it was not.
Did you like what you see? did you look at his hiney? He's not. What'd you think of his hiney? When he got in his 3-point stance, did you like his hiney? Whose hiney did you like more?
Thinking of Heinrich Harburg? Harburg. And the joke is, hey, get you into my hiney.
If I had a if I gave you the choice of Tanner's hiney.
Guess what? The wine's out, and you asked me, did you look at his hiney?
Did you check out his hiney? But honestly, though, did you like how he moved? Did you like his hiney?
Nick, I did not.
You didn't look at his hiney?
I did not look at his hiney.
But did you like how he moved?
Not particularly, but he didn't get
he didn't have opportunities to really, like,
it was a no
hit him with the Nick Baugh speed rush,
Nick Baugh
swim move.
Nick Baugh speed rush
swim
camp.
Move.
Go Nick Baugh speed rush camp. He didn't get a chance to get his reps there, but this game, I think he'll get a chance to just tee off on people. It'll be a good, sort of like, when, like, the prize fighters are, like, warming up for the big fight, they go face, like, Glass Joe, and they just beat the shit out. Like, we need to beat the shit out of somebody.
Well, that's good,
right? North Dakota is our person.
It would be really nice. You know what Nebraska needs is one of those stress-free, never a doubt, from opening kick to final bell, dominate.
Everybody needs to make some big plays to build confidence. Especially the new guys. The new guys need to see themselves making plays, and you build the confidence. I mean, that's why, like, it sucks. Our first game schedule for the last handful of years has been just like not what we needed for a team that hasn't built confidence.
Right.
We need the first three games of the year every year should be like Roast Beef State,
Frosted Flakes University,
and freaking
Mayonnaise Tech.
Yeah.
Right. But instead, it's not quite been like that. But no, it's
we
just
need to build confidence.
It would be really nice to have a game where there's never a doubt.
That's it.
Like, first drive, march it down, three and out, then punt, score again, three, like, it needs to be that. Just dominate. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah.
I said 41-17. You got a score. You're feeling?
I think we'll handle this one easy. I mean, like, it'll just be like, I mean, like, are they going to guard Trey Palmer? Like, I don't know. Seems like it'd be hard. That's pretty good, isn't it?
You tell me if you send Trey Palmer just on like a skinny
Trey Palmer post six times in a row. It's gonna work.
What great analysis.
Oh, I'll be here. This is what you
had Big Noon kickoff. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, what do you think? Let's go over to Bo.
Well, this is North Dakota. Trey Palmer.
They're going to guard Trey Palmer. Seems like it'd be pretty hard. Am I right? Matt Leinart?
I'll take the Huskers.
Hey, Urban Meyer. What do you think? Hey,
Urban, what do you think?
What do you think, huh? It seems like it'd be pretty hard to guard him.
I think Urban might be like, I think you're right.
I think you're right. I talk to my guys about that all the time. It's hard to guard guys that can run really fast. But yeah, like Trey Palmer is going to be superior athletically.
That's where as much
my
as
man's got the mouthpiece. Just like, I mean, that thing is just. I mean, put your mouthpiece in. Let's see if he puts his mouthpiece in.
But I mean, Nick, we got a stable of running backs that are all like we're trying to find the guy. I think there's going to be a couple of them that are going to have good games. They're going to have places to run. Like these guys should build some confidence by being able to make some runs against.
Right. I think you might see Ramir this weekend.
Yeah.
I think you might see Gabe Irvin this weekend. And then hopefully you see a lot of these guys because it's a blowout and you're getting a lot of guys in.
And Grant, like between those four, like somebody start making.
AJ Allen too. Yeah. I mean, AJ played in the Northwestern game. But yeah, I think they're going to play. I think they're going to play well. I think they will.
If they don't, like, it's just like, I don't even know what I'll say if they don't play. Like, but I mean, obviously they got to win, but like.
Right. But at some point, but if we're doing the recap pod and it's like it was 21-20.
If we eke one out, like, oh,
I mean, man. It's like it's worse than the alternative. But at the same time, like, at some point, you got to start, like,
yeah,
you know,
building
it. And like Trev said, you got to see some progress.
Yeah.
Like, got to start getting it going a little bit.
Young team. I think they'll find their footing this game.
I think so. So I'm going 41-17. And in the words of Bo Rude, are they going to guard Trey Palmer? Seems like it'd be pretty hard. Okay. That's what it would be. Okay, we've gone long enough, my friend. Maybe we have one after we turn up the mics. I don't know. But this wine was delish. Big shouts out to Go Currency for sponsoring the wine pod.
Yeah.
This was fun. We're going to be doing this
every
week, baby. Yeah, every Wednesday.
We're doing it.
So make sure you are ready for recap pod. Okay. Yep. We're doing recap pod after North Dakota game. We'll probably tape on Sunday. You good for Sunday or you want to go
for Sunday? I'm predicting Trey Palmer
is three tough to guard.
Touchdowns.
According to you, he's hard to guard. He's going to have three touchdowns. So there you go. Okay. Let's go get a beer. Let's go get a beer.
A Huda Media Production.